Isaiah chapter 40. And beginning at verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 40. The Lord says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day that you have given us, Lord, that we can come and worship together and fellowship one with another. We thank you for your word. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless as we look into it, that we would understand this passage, its interpretation, and its application to us today. Lord, we just pray you would help us, that we would prepare your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we see this proclamation here, this voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, where he's crying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." You think of it in the sense that if royalty was coming, say if the queen were to visit, that you would make sure that everything was ready, that you want to make sure that kind of everything looks good when they come. It's just the same as just before rodeo days, that they painted all the lines in Kindersley, they painted the curbs, they put in those boxes in the middle with the flowers, and they want to make everything look nice. And it's the same sense of that, and especially when it's royalty, you want to go all out, because it doesn't happen that often. And it's the thought of this, where it says, "A voice that's in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God," that it's a thought where there is no real path for the person to come in, but they had to prepare it. There's a lot more work. And you can think of that these days, of course, we have highways and everything else where it's set up so well. But back even 100 years ago, how different it would have been, and how if royalty was coming, then there'd have to be a lot of work to make sure that it was passable, because you wouldn't want the king or the queen to come and get stuck in the mud somewhere. It would be kind of embarrassing. And you'd think, well, maybe they'd get fed up and they wouldn't want to actually come all the way, that they would just go home. And so it's that thought that we have from this passage. And we understand that it's not speaking in a physical sense, where it says, "Prepare the way of the Lord," that, well, the Lord is coming, and so we have to get everything ready for him, even though he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We understand that it's speaking in a spiritual sense. And we think in that this, of course, is a prophecy speaking of the time of Jesus. And we can think of when Jesus entered in to Jerusalem on the colt, how that people laid their garments in the way, they took down branches of the palm tree and strawed them in the way. And in some ways that they're preparing the way for him in that sense. But we understand that in less than a week, even though there is a multitude saying, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna," that less than a week later you have a multitude in the same town that's saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." That there wasn't a preparation made in that sense. And we understand that this passage, if we want to get to the specific interpretation and fulfillment of that, we understand that it's fulfilled in the life and ministry of John the Baptist. And we see that in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, it says, beginning in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 3, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And that's what his job was, that he was the forerunner to Christ, that the one that was to come, that was to be the Messiah, that the prophets had been silent for 400 years, and this man comes on the scene and says, get ready, he's coming, and that they needed to be prepared. And it was not that he was telling them to get out the road crews out and get everything ready. It was the idea that they needed to ready themselves. They needed to ready their hearts. We see this in Luke chapter 1, where this is given to his father, Zacharias, by the angel, giving a prophecy of what John was to fulfill during his life. We see Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what his job was, his responsibility was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That they, when the Lord came, that they would be ready to receive him. And we understand that when Jesus, he came to his own and his own received him not, but yet there was a remnant, there was a group that did accept him. We think of his disciples, this motley crew of fishermen and tax collectors and everything, that yet the Lord had these people there, and it was because John had preached, and that there was many that came, and that that was his job, was to prepare them for when the Lord would come. And we want to understand that it is not a preparation of a road, but a preparation of a people to receive the one that would come. And it is the idea, it says in that passage that we read, every valley should be exalted, every mountain shall be brought low. It gives a sense, if we understand it to be spiritual, it's a sense that those who are low, who are burdened down by guilt and despair, that they could be lifted up. That they could see that there's someone to give them hope, someone to give them purpose. And we can think also of those that are high, those that are exalted, who are full of pride, that they would be brought down low, that they would need to humble themselves if they were to receive the Lord. So we understand this passage that it speaks of preparing a people, and that the people had to prepare their hearts so that they would be ready to receive the Lord. And we see that it speaks in this time, if we deal with specifically the interpretation of the Scripture, that it is dealing with Christ coming to the earth. But we understand that with the Scripture, though there is only one interpretation, there can be many applications. And we want to make an application to our own lives today. And when we read this, where it says, this voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, that we understand the importance of preparation. It is something that we understand in everything in daily life, that we function, that preparation is key, whether it's making a meal, whether it's trying to accomplish really anything, that there needs to be a time of preparation. We think of seeding, of how there's so much that was done to prepare for it, that you had to get all the machinery ready, make sure that it was working right. You had to get your seed. You had to prepare the soil as much as you can, whether fertilizing or to start with rounding it up so that you wouldn't have all, hopefully not as many weeds as you sometimes would get. But there's so much preparation. We understand the more preparation is done, then the better the results can be. And we understand that when harvest comes too, that there will be a great deal of preparation, that you just don't decide one morning, okay, I'm going to just start harvesting. No, there's a whole lot that you have to do ahead of that time. And we even understand that our teenage years, that they are to be a time of preparation. If for adulthood, that the amount of preparation that you take during those years makes you readier to, or more ready, I don't think readier is a word, makes you more ready for fulfilling the responsibilities of adulthood. And it is something that I've found myself, that different things, sometimes different bad habits that I gained while I was a teenager, that they haunt you later in life. And so it is something to learn that. And it is a challenge, because with the world, it's kind of the idea, well, your teenage years are the last time you have before you have to assume responsibility, so you should have fun. But we have to understand, no, it's a time of preparation. And then if the more we prepare, the more ready we are. And we see in the sense of spiritual things that preparation is very important. We see that it is part of the armor of God that we are to put on as Christians. This is found in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6, it reads, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." In verse 15 we see, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And that thought that it would be so important, this gospel of peace, that we would be prepared. And comparing it to the soldier's sandals that he would be wearing, his footwear, that we understand that that's what provide him his traction. And that's the whole thought, that when we're fighting the Christian warfare, that when the devil attacks us, that if we're prepared, then we won't lose our footing, that we'll be able to withstand what he does. That it just, as we found, I know this past week when we had, at our place, we had almost 2 inches of rain, and we were slipping and sliding all over the road when we went home. And it is something that you want to have that traction. You want to be prepared. And as a Christian, you don't want to be backsliding and slipping all over. You want to have a steady, focused life. And that's what it takes, is preparation. A time each day where we prepare for battle, that we prepare our lives, our hearts for the Lord. And we understand that the amount in which we prepare ourselves, it makes a difference in what we make out of our lives as believers. That if we lack preparation, then we can often get ourselves in a whole lot of trouble. But the more we prepare, the more we're ready. We can't anticipate what's going to come down the road, but if we're as prepared as we can be, then we won't have to panic or worry. It's the old saying of the Boy Scouts is always be prepared. And that is something that as Christians that we need to learn as well. We see this, if you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 12, I just want to contrast two people in the Scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and the first one that we're speaking of is a man by the name of Rehoboam. We understand he was the son of Solomon, the grandson of King David. He had many things going for him in many ways, that you would think that he would be destined for greatness in many ways, but we find that he was a horrible king, and it was under him that the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, that instead of listening to those that were wise, he listened to his friends, and he got 10 tribes from Adam that they didn't want him to be their king anymore. And it says in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14, this kind of sums up Rehoboam's life. It says, "And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." And we understand that even though he had such promise, that he had a godly example from his grandfather and for most of his father's life, yet he didn't do right, and he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord, and it led to great problems. But then we see in contrast a man by the name of Ezra. If you turn with me to Ezra chapter 7, Verse 10. That Ezra, we know, was a scribe, that he saw that the temple was being rebuilt, but he saw, well, there weren't many priests there. There wasn't really any kind of spiritual leadership that was lacking in his amongst his people as they returned to the land, and so he wanted to come there and help. And it says, Ezra 7, verse 10, it says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." And we see that, his preparation, not only to seek the law of the Lord, to find out what it said, but once he found out what it said, to do it, to make it true in his life, and then not only to do it, but then to teach others about it. That was his preparation. And we see that God greatly used his life, that as we read in Ezra and Nehemiah, of how we find really a revival went on, and that he was the one that was able to share God's word to the people. That the Lord really blessed his life. And that's what we want. We don't want to have a life of, like as with Rehoboam, that it started with such promise, but it ended in such failure. We want a life that is honored and blessed of God, that we see that God uses it greatly. And we want to think of it in that way, that there's much for us to do as Christians to prepare. In many ways, we need preparation to do anything for the Lord, to accomplish anything for Him. It was something that we were discussing Thursday night at prayer meeting, of how we pray, but a lot of times what we actually need, we need a time of preparation to pray. That sometimes we can pray for half an hour and then kind of our time is up, so we have to go, but it's kind of that's when we've actually got to the point where we can really start praying. And so there is that we have to understand, just getting our hearts right with the Lord so that then we can commune with Him. And we see also that in order to be a witness for the Lord, in order to minister for the Lord, that there needs to be a time of preparation. We think of the disciples, of how when Christ rose again and He gave them the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that they had their marching orders. And yet we find that immediately after Christ's ascension, where are they? They're in the upper room and they're praying. And you think, well, they know what they're supposed to do. Why are they just sitting there? But we understand from Luke chapter 24 that the Lord had told them, tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so they spent that time. It was about 10 days after the Lord was risen, between that and Pentecost, that they prepared themselves, that they prayed. We see that they are of one accord, that maybe if they had any arguments amongst each other, that they settled them so that they were all together. And they prepared themselves, and that the Lord blessed and the Lord empowered them. That you can think of this man, Peter, who only a couple months before had denied Jesus three times, that now he was his most ablest supporter, his most ablest communicator, that he was sharing with all these people at Pentecost the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that even though these same men who had crucified the Lord Jesus, that he was able to stand in front of them and tell them, well, Lord raised up Jesus whom you crucified, that to have that bravery to do that he wasn't scared of them anymore. And we see that it was because of their time of preparation, that there was a change that was wrought in their life by that time. And so it is something that in our own lives that we understand our need for preparation. And especially as we look towards the upcoming meetings that we're going to have, there is a lot of preparation that we entail of making sure we have all the advertising in place, making sure we have everything else that is needed for the meetings. But more than all of that, that's really not as important as the preparation of our hearts for that time. That we want to see God move and work in this community. We want to make a difference. We want to see a demonstration of His power and glory, where we see people saved and that they're brought into the kingdom and that lives are changed. That it isn't something that a person that's lost could be able to attribute it to anything else than, well, God must be doing something, that we want to see that. And I know even in my own life that I want to see the Lord work to enable me to be the husband and the father and the pastor that I should be. And so we want that to happen. And in order for that to happen, our hearts need to be prepared. And that is my hope, and that is, I pray, is your hope as well, that we would be prepared for the Lord, that we would make His paths straight. And it isn't in a physical sense, it's in a spiritual sense, that for Him to come, that there'd be nothing in the way, that there would be nothing that would keep Him from working, that He would be pleased to work in and through us, that it isn't like He has to kind of detour around us or work in spite of us, but that we can be channels of blessing for Him. And we see the preparation, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's verse 21. 2 Timothy 2:21 says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And so we see that thought that there's different things in our life for us to purge. This passage specifically speaks of profane and vain babblings and of youthful lusts that we're to purge ourselves from. But there's so many other things that we can think of, sins that so easily beset us, that we're to purge ourselves from them so that we can be met for the Master's use, that we can be prepared for every good work, that we don't know what the Lord would have to happen. And sometimes we think so much smaller than what the Lord actually wants to do. And we want to be ready for His work. And it takes this idea of consecration, of dedication, of sanctification, where we are set apart for what the Lord would have us to do, that we're ready, that He would be pleased to work in and through us. I just want to read with you just one more passage, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And this is where they're going to be soon going into the promised land. And they're actually going to be crossing the Jordan soon. It says, Joshua 3, verse 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And just to give them that thought that they needed to make themselves pure and holy and set apart for the Lord's work so that the Lord could do a wonder amongst them. And that is my prayer for all of us, that we would have that sense, that we would prepare the way of the Lord, that that we trust that we know that the Lord wants to see people saved. We know that He wants to see God and His Word. He wants it to become central to people's lives once again, as it was in times past in this country. And so may the Lord help us, may the Lord enable us, that we would be ready, that if the Lord chose to work, if He was to send revival as He has in history past, that we would be ready to receive it, that there would be nothing on our part that would stand in the way of Him doing so. And it takes self-examination, it takes a time of intense real preparation, of dedication to the Lord. But it will be worth it if we do so. And just with life, the more we prepare for the future, the more we prepare ourselves for whatever might come up, the better the blessings can be, the more fruitful can be the results of that. And so may the Lord help us in this, that we would prepare the way of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again for this time. We thank You for Your Word and the challenge given through John the Baptist, Lord. We pray that we would prepare Your way, Lord, in our hearts, that we would not obstruct it in any way, that we would make it straight and plain and Lord, we just pray that you would use us, Lord, as we look forward to the special meetings next month, that you would just bless and that you would make us a blessing, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, hymn 304, Sing Nothing Between. Hymn 304.